13. It is a blessing to be living here in Arizona because, for one thing, I remember that when many of the states told churches they could not meet, our governor said church assembly is an essential service and that we needed to be able to meet. And we continued to hold services. We were putting some things on the internet, but many folks came out. And I remember it was an Easter service a couple of years ago that we had a pretty good turnout even during the middle of COVID. And I thank the Lord for the government that we have. It is sad but true, many times the government makes decisions that oppose God. And you might say to yourself, well, then we should just ignore them. That's not what God said. You remember in Acts when the government tried to prevent, tried to prevent the apostles from preaching in Acts 5:29, they just made it real clear. They said, you know, we ought to obey God rather than man. But we ought to obey God. So Romans chapter 13 mentions the higher powers. And some people say, well, he's talking about the church. I don't think so. I can tell you at least two reasons for that. For one thing, in verse 4, we don't bear the sword. We are not in a business of, we have a sword, but not the sword he's talking about here. This is a sword that is used to revenge and to execute wrath. And upon him that doeth evil, he's talking about the authority of the state to take a life. And the state has a sword in two capacities, in the military capacity and then in a punitive or a legal capacity. And then the other thing he says in verse 6 that lets me know this is not church is he says that you pay tribute. And folks, you don't pay tribute in church, you give offerings, okay? So the higher power he's talking about here in Romans chapter 13 is governmental power. Now, for those of you that haven't been with us, we've been going through Romans and we've come to the point now to where God is giving instructions to Christians and to that church at Rome, just in general about how to live their lives. And so we've come past the doctrinal emphasis and now we're into a practical emphasis. And folks, the Bible's a practical book. The things of, if you'll live your life the way the Bible says, it'll be a good life. And it won't be a trouble-free life, but no one lives a trouble-free life. We will have persecution. We will have affliction. The Bible talks about those kind of things, but everyone has affliction. But if you live the way the Bible says to you, have a much better life than if you ignore it. So let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We will only be about 15 or 20 minutes tonight, but I want to read verses 1 through 6 and talk about what God has to say about governmental power. The Bible says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, open our eyes tonight to see the simple things, but the important ones in this passage. There will be and have been times when the government may make laws or rulings that would oppose churches. We've seen it happen in the past. We expect it in the future. But we know that you are the one that ordained governmental power. You've said so right here. And God, it may not be terribly profound to us tonight. The things that are said here are very straightforward. But I know for a fact that there are some people that would rather disregard or ignore the governmental authority rather than to abide by it. And so when that authority is consistent with your will, I pray that we would understand we have an obligation to abide to it. And I pray you'd give us peace as we live in this world. Thank you for the government you've given us. Thank you for the rulers you've given us. We do not agree with everything that they do because they make decisions seem to go contrary to the Bible and certainly go contrary to the Bible at times. But you did put them in power. Help us to appreciate that and to live accordingly, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You got to remember something. When Paul wrote this, there was a time when Paul was serving as Nero was the emperor of Rome. You think you got a president that you don't agree with? Wait till you meet Nero. He was persecuting Christians, and some fairly severe persecution took place. I mentioned that to you before. But there is a simple principle here, and you've seen it in action, and I have too, and that is people that do not like God do not like authority. Let me say it differently. People that don't believe in God or don't want to follow God, that don't trust God, often they don't like authority. When we were in Maryland, I was shocked. We got there in 2002, and before you know it, I found myself not just with a church, but with a school and hundreds of students, which means hundreds times two of parents, not to mention teachers, not to mention relatives, not to mention church members. And I found myself dealing with about 1,000 people. And some of them were easy to deal with because they respected authority. But sadly, there were some people that did not respect authority. And as long as authority was going along with what they wanted, they were pretty happy. But as soon as the authority said, no, you can't do that, or you have to do this, or whatever, any simple things like when we had a program where people had to pick their children up by 6 o'clock at night. And that's pretty late. I mean, that's late. We had people that came in at 6 in the morning. We had people that left at 6 at night. So there are some people they shouldn't do both of those, but there's a 12-hour program there. And we would have people that would come and pick their child up at 6:30. Well, that's not good because somebody has to stay extra and now they're late that night and they've got to get up early the next day and teach again or whatever. So we try to explain to them, if you do that, we're going to charge you a fee. Oh, they didn't like that. If you do that too many times, we're not going to let you use our program. They didn't like that. I don't need to tell all the stories. All I can tell you is this. You've seen it. There are people that just don't like authority. Parental authority. Children, obey your parents, the Bible says. Amen? Legal authority, civil authority, teachers. There are people that don't like teachers' authority. Students, perhaps, even, that don't like to listen to what the teacher has to say. And it is just very, very simple, folks. God says very plainly about these powers. They are legitimate. He says in verse 1, there's no power. And that word power, by the way, every time you see that, just think of that word authority. There's no power but of God. You might wonder about that word power. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, to as many as received Jesus, him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's the right. It's the authority. It's something that is a legitimate use of a decision. And this higher power he's talking about here is government. And he says, there's no power but of God. God's in control. Aren't you glad we have a government? Amen. I wish they wouldn't let them kill babies, amen? I wish they wouldn't be so foolish as to promote and in some case persecute Christians because they disapprove of the homosexual agenda or the lesbian, all that stuff, agenda. Because, folks, that's wicked. But I'm sure glad we have a government because I know some places that haven't got quite so much government. These visitors tonight have been in Mexico. There's parts of Mexico that are very dangerous. We've told you before, we have a teacher who's got family down there, and people down there are being shot on a regular basis. I'm glad we have a place where it's more civilized than that. Amen? Why is that so? Because in our nation, the law, the police officers and the law enforcement officers are still somewhat in control. Do you think it could come to the point to where it's like Mexico? I hope not, but yeah, it got that way down there, and it could get that way here in time. Praise the Lord for what he's done for us. Just some really simple things here. It's just so easy to see. As far as governmental authority is concerned, it is legitimate power. He says every soul should be subject to it. God said that. He said that they're given their power by God. There's no power but of God in verse 1. And he says that they are ordained of God. And that word ordained means they are appointed. God is the one that said there will be government. And I'm glad we have a government. It doesn't always do things that are convenient for us, but by and large, it's a whole lot better than not having any control and having lawlessness like they have in places like Mexico. He says in verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they resist, and that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And the word damnation means judgment. It is a condemnation. When you resist governmental authority, you're resisting God. Now, what do you do, again, and I don't want to belabor the point, but what do you do when the government says you can't go to church? What do? Go to church. Amen. Amen. And what do you do when the government says you cannot have a Christian school? You have a Christian school. Amen? When I went into the ministry in the late 1990s, early 1990s, I'm sorry, I went into the ministry. They were still telling stories about, I think it was in the 80s, it may have been the early 80s, that Nebraska had decided that they were not going to allow Christian schools to operate. And they had literally gone in and arrested some pastors, and they told them, if you have a Christian school, we're going to put you in jail. And they did. And from all over the nation, pastors from Utah were driving. They would have church, and then they would drive on Monday or even late Sunday night all the way to Nebraska or fly or however they can get there so that they could go and protest against that. And praise the Lord, that ended. And they have Christian schools in Nebraska again. When I was in Maryland, it was just the opposite situation. Way back in the beginning of the Christian school movement, there were some people that had gone and met with the governor, and Maryland endorsed Christian schools, and Maryland had a thriving Christian school movement. Why would Christian school be so important? It's pretty simple. We think we ought to be able to teach the Bible. We think we ought to be able to preach the gospel. We think we ought to be able to pray. We think we ought to be able to put the Ten Commandments on any wall we want to. Amen? And we think we ought to be able to tell folks that Jesus died for their sins. This is not a religion, it's the truth. Someone says there's supposed to be separation of church and state. That's fine, I agree. The state should not endorse one particular church. They shouldn't endorse the Catholic Church. They shouldn't endorse the Lutheran Church. That's what that clause meant. But that doesn't mean separation of government and God. And if you read the history of our founding fathers, you'll find out they weren't all great Christians, and some of them might surprise you how less than great they were, but as a group, people like George Washington who made statements like this. He said, the Bible is essential in education. You have to have the Bible to have a good school. That's a paraphrase. But I used to have a collection of those kind of sayings. Our church in Maryland was on a main road, a four-lane road with a center-turning lane, and it was busy, busy, busy all day long. And we had this giant sign out front that was programmable. I had a ball. I would put all sorts of things out there about what had been said about the Bible and about education and about, we had the gospel on it, and it was really neat. You could just change it. You could tell it when to do what and how long to do it. And always I had something out there about one of our founding fathers endorsing the Bible in school. Don't believe this hogwash when people say that our nation was not meant to be a Christian nation. It was. And so anyway, enough said about that. We have strayed from that, but I'm still glad I live in this nation. I'm glad I live in this nation because we can still go door to door, can't we? We can still stand on the street and hand out tracts, can't we? We can still advertise for people to come to our church, and we can still put the gospel out just about any way we want to, radio, whatever, door to door, however you want to do it. But we still live in a nation which has given us that kind of freedom, and that's the kind of thing he's talking about here. So we don't believe the government is illegitimate. It is legitimate. We do not believe we should resist it. And then let's look at the purpose, and we'll finish up here pretty quick, but look at verse 3. He says, here's why God did all this. He says, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Now, that's an interesting statement. The laws in our land are to deal with folks that do evil. Murder, theft. I was getting a bottle of propane today at the hardware store, and there were some people out front. They're collecting money to help abuse children. What a wicked thing to abuse a child. Praise the Lord, there's laws against that, and there's people that enforce those laws. Amen? Praise the Lord that when you drive down the highway tonight or the road on the way home, there's a speed limit. And if somebody's driving while they're drunk or if somebody's driving recklessly or speeding, there's a policeman out there or a sheriff's deputy or somebody who's going to stop them and give them a ticket and make them stop that. The Lord put government in power so that they could terrorize evil works. He says, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You and I have all had this experience. We were driving down the road, and you looked up, and there was a policeman behind you. And what did you think? Oh, no, I hope I'm being good. I have a new policy. I don't like to buy gas. It costs too much. And I found out something. When you go the speed limit, it uses less gas. I probably make a lot of people unhappy, but I get on the road over here to head south down to my house. The speed limit is 40. I go 40. I turn to the right to go out towards my house on Camelback. The speed limit is 45. I go 45. And if a policeman comes up behind me, the thing I think now is, oh, that's not a problem. I'm going the speed limit. I didn't always do that. But praise the Lord, shouldn't we obey the law? That's what he said. Amen? Isn't that kind of neat? You can obey God by driving the speed limit. Some folks might not like that idea. I don't know. The purpose of government is to punish evil works, to cause fear in those that do evil, to minister. They are ministers in verse 4 of God to thee for good. God put the government in place to minister to you and I for good. That's what they ought to be doing. Amen. And again, I know our government has strayed from that, and I'm sad for that fact. But we got a lot better situation than some folks. We still have rules and laws in place and people to enforce them. And that is so we can have a peaceable life and not worry about someone coming to our neighborhood and killing us in the middle of the night. He says in verse 4, if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. And for he beareth the sword, not the sword, in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You may not agree with me, but I do believe that capital punishment is scriptural. And I'm sorry to say that the Bible makes it pretty clear that the government has the right to do that. I hate to see anybody come to the place where that has to happen, but I know it's the right thing to do. And I'm sorry today. I see a lot of situations to where somebody kills someone. You watch these specials on TV or whatever. Somebody kills somebody and they put them in prison for 20 years. That's not right. If they killed somebody and did it on purpose, their life ought to be taken in response. And that's Bible. I don't have the verses in front of me, but I can show you if you want to see it. He says in verse 5, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Okay, so there's two thoughts here. I don't speed because it's the right thing to do. That's conscience. I don't speed because I don't want a speeding ticket. That's the wrath part. In other words, when I break the law, I expect to be punished. And I should expect to be punished. And it's the right thing. And if a policeman stops you, don't lie to him. Don't try to talk him out of it. The best thing you can do is tell him, I did it. And sometimes they'll say, well, don't do it again. I'll let you go. Sometimes they give you a ticket. If they give you a ticket, you deserved it. I've gotten one ticket since I got here to Arizona, and it's because I pulled out of a parking lot. I didn't see a car that was coming, and I ran into it. And they gave me a ticket for failing to yield, and they were right. And I took a traffic class and got the ticket dismissed. It cost me a lot of money. But the point is, they're going to penalize you when you break the law. And that's what God wants, to keep people in line. So finishing up here, let's just think about this. They are legitimate. Those that resist them are wrong, and they have a purpose. And so he says there's a way we should respond to all that. For wrath and for conscience sake, we should be subject to them. And then he says in verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also. Oh, don't throw anything at me, but we've got to pay our taxes. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Do you remember what happened when they came to Peter? And they said, Peter, doesn't your master pay taxes? And Peter was one of those fellows that talked before he thought sometimes. And he said, oh, yeah, he pays taxes. And then he went back and Jesus saw him and said, Peter, where are you coming from? And what did you say? And he told the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm just paraphrasing the story. And the Lord said, go fishing, catch a fish. You'll find a coin in his mouth. Give him that to pay taxes for you and for me. Even the Lord paid a tax. Now, I do not believe churches should be taxed, and it's easy to prove that in the Bible. But I think you and I have to pay taxes. Amen? And by the way, if you cheat on your taxes, that's the stealing. That's dishonesty, and it's stealing. And when you steal that money, here's what you're saying. Let's say you fill out a number and you fill it out wrong and it gives you an extra $10 back. What you're saying is, I don't trust God to meet my needs. I need to steal to meet my needs. Folks, God can meet our needs. Amen? So we pay taxes. It's just part of the process. And so he says in verse 6, for this cause pay you tribute also. And then he reminds us again. He said this a couple of times. They are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Now, I have good news for you. When you and I get to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the government. Nobody will ever break the law. Nobody, there will be no cars. There will be no speeding. There will be no sin of any kind. And there won't be any need for any other government except the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. But folks, we're not there yet. I know we don't find what the government does popular. I am incensed by the fact that they're going to protect abortion, for example. That's just plain wicked. But God put them there. And before you and I try to take matters into our own hands, we got to trust God. Amen? I was reading my Bible Sunday morning, and I was in John chapter 14. I saw that place where he says, let not your heart be troubled. And I thought to myself in a more generic sense, isn't it true that we let things trouble us too much? I've known people. I may know some people. Maybe not, but I've known people that they are so upset about the government, they just lose it when you start talking about the government. Folks, don't worry about that so much. I know a power higher than that. He'll take care of us. I think when you step into eternity and you consider the places you could have lived in a place where the gospel wasn't preached. You could have lived in a place that was lawless. You could have lived in a place where, like, or a time when the government was used in a very wrong way. I thank God for the government we've got. I don't agree with all that they do. I know they do some things wrong. I know there's a lot of crookedness and dishonesty and all the rest. But God didn't tell me to deal with that. Here's what God told me to do. Be subject. Amen? I like this kind of message because it's pretty easy. I just think that's something we tend to do. Because part of being a Christian is obeying God, and obeying God means responding to authority, whatever that authority is, whether it's a policeman or a teacher or a parent or a pastor or whatever. Anytime you find a rebellion against authority, what you'll find is godlessness. They go together hand in hand. So, folks, let's do what God said to. Amen? And this may be one of the easier commands to keep. But it certainly is in the Bible. And if you have a problem with the government, just remember something. God's the one that put them there. Talk to him about it, okay? Let's all stand and have a word of prayer.